Hey, Mike Baker here. Today, I wanted to bring your attention to my friend Bill O'Reilly and his No Spin News program. Now, it's probably unnecessary to introduce Bill to most of you, but just in case you haven't owned a television for the last 2.5 decades, Bill long ago conquered cable news with his excellent coverage of the headlines and confrontational interviews with newsmakers. Now unhindered by the corporate media, Bill explores the stories that impact your life, filtering through propaganda and delivering an honest broadcast featuring informative interviews and offering stinging commentary. Look, Bill's not afraid to tell it like it is. You already know that. The No Spin News is a can't-miss experience for those that want to stay informed and know what's really happening today in America. So if you enjoy the President's Daily Brief, I know you'll also enjoy Bill O'Reilly's No Spin News. Here's an example of what you'll get when you listen to the No Spin News program, which is available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News. Stand up for your country. You know, most Americans believe the country's heading in the wrong direction. All the polls show that, and by a wide margin. And one of the big reasons we are heading in the wrong direction is lack of accountability. Politicians and others are getting away with a lot. And the reason it is easier to be a miscreant is that the corrupt media doesn't really cover the news anymore. It does not tell you the truth. It's ideological. It slants the news. It spins the news. All right, which is why we do the No Spin News. Anyway, the reason this is happening is because money has taken over from professionalism. And I'm speaking generally, but you know, because we've done a lot of reporting on this in the media. And that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. This is a very interesting story. So on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, I wrote a column. That's a Sunday. And the column said that on network TV, ABC, CBS, NBC, there are literally no conservative or traditional voices heard. They've been banned. Talking late night TV, early morning TV. We're talking the newscasts. You will not find a conservative voice on those three networks. And we told you in the column, it's because of the management. Okay, they don't hire people. And they won't even book a guest most of the time, particularly if the guest supports Donald Trump. So 6 days later, after that column, all right, NBC announces it has hired Ronna McDaniel, the former head of the Republican National Committee, as a pundit. I'm going to pay her to be on their air. Okay, almost immediately, there was a revolt among NBC News personnel objecting to the hiring of Ms. McDaniel. And almost immediately, the president of NBC News, Rebecca Blumenstein, panicked and folded and said, Ms. McDaniel will never appear on MSNBC, just on NBC News. That did not calm the liberal employees of NBC News. So yesterday, Ms. McDaniel showed up on Meet the Press and was immediately grilled by Kristen Welker. Go.
Did you not have a responsibility as the RNC chair to say before January 6th, the election is not rigged, that Donald Trump lost, given that there were audits, given that there were more than 60 court cases that occurred all across the country, listen, and that Donald Trump lost?
The reality is Joe Biden won. He's the president. He's the legitimate president. I have always said, and I continue to say, there were issues in 2020. I believe that both can be true.
Okay, so the crux of the matter is that Ms. McDaniel made a mistake by trying to influence people not to certify the electoral votes in January of 2021. That was a mistake on her part. Should she be canceled forever because of that? Banished because of that? According to the NBC personnel, yes. So she made a mistake. She now admits that Joe Biden won the election, but no, no. You make that mistake, you're gone. Canceled, out, banished. Okay, according to these people at NBC. But interestingly enough, if you are on the left side of the spectrum and make a mistake, no, that's okay. That's all right. So in a sane world, Ms. McDaniel admits her mistake, but you can have an opinion that the election of 2020 was flawed. You can't say it is fact, which is what she did and others did. You say it is fact, that's wrong, and the huge judgment against the Fox News channel proves that. You can say, it's my opinion that there was something wrong in that election. Look, Mark Zuckerberg, pumped hundreds of millions of dollars into a few American counties. It's never been explained where that money went. Yeah, I got some questions about that. Because I hold that opinion, should I be canceled? Yes, absolutely, on the part of the networks. So this was pretty bold. Chuck Todd, who was fired as Meet the Press anchor because of low ratings and his sneering condescension toward anybody who wasn't agreeing with him, he went on right after Ronna McDaniel with Kristen Welker. Roll the tape.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access to audience.
Well, that's true. NBC is hemorrhaging viewers. I mean, MSNBC, they don't even get 2 million people in prime time to watch it. It's insane. Like 120 million homes with TV in America, they can't even get 2 million. That's how bad it is. So, yeah, they'd like to get some Republicans to watch them. That's why they hired them. It's like, yeah. And plus, guys like me are hammering them for being 100% liberal network. All right. So they go, oh, no. We have Ronna McDaniel. All right. But Ms. Welker's participation in all this is fascinating as well. Let's go back to the debate, the GOP debate on November 8th, 2023, where Kristen Welker was one of the moderators. Roll it.
Kristen, I'm going to use this time because this is actually about you in the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years. Was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation?
There you go. Welker didn't have any answer for that. NBC News embraced the phony Russian collusion thing at a level that has never been seen because of MSNBC. Every night, they convicted the Trump organization, the Trump campaign, Donald Trump himself, of colluding with Russia. Every blanking night they did it. So they should cancel themselves, right? Right? Didn't they push a false narrative? Of course they did. So if Ronna McDaniel pushed a false narrative, which she did, I'm not making an equivalency here. I'm just showing you hypocrisy. And it really is, really is. So I wrote a message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com about this thing to clarify it in very specific ways. But you get it. NBC is in serious trouble. When the inmates, to use a cliche, run the asylum, you've lost control. Okay, you really have. And that's the memo. All right, Joe Biden did nothing again today. And this, of course, is nothing unusual. He just doesn't do anything. Meantime, February was a record for migrant crossings, up 18% over February 23. It's really stunning. Almost 200,000 migrants crossed into the USA in February. in the middle of winter, cold. Here they come. Biden could do something, doesn't do it. Doesn't even work. Doesn't care. Said it a million times, and a million times it's true. All right, let's go to Donald Trump. He got a break today. An appeals court in New York State says you don't have to pay a half billion dollars, just to pay $175 million in bond. He has 10 days to come up with the $175 million. I don't know. I guess he could do it. I don't know. I do know they're trying to get, they being the Trump lawyers, the whole New York State case, which is a civil case, okay, into the federal system, saying this is cruel and unusual punishment, Eighth Amendment, all of that. But today was a good day for Donald Trump. On the other front, hush money, the trial is supposed to start April 15th. Okay, now this is a criminal trial in New York. The other one, the other judgment was civil. This would be criminal. Okay, that Trump forged documents to cover up Stormy Daniels. You know the whole thing. But there's going to be appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal. Now, remember, this case is in Manhattan. So Trump has no chance. He has no chance in Manhattan, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C. The case never would have been brought in 30 states. But in Manhattan, if the trial does start on April 15th, Trump is guilty. He has no chance at all in this. All right, McLaughlin poll, interesting poll about Trump's prosecutions. 1,000 likely voters, Democrat 36, Republican 36, Independent 28. Fair poll. First question, how much of a role would you say politics has played in the indictments against former President Trump? A role, 67%, no role, 27. How much of a role would you say Joe Biden has played in the indictments of Trump? Role, 58, no role, 33. Do you agree or disagree that Biden's Justice Department should stop targeting Donald Trump? Agree, 58, disagree, 34. Final question, since Donald Trump leads Joe Biden for president in many polls, do you think these investigations and indictment by the Biden Justice Department are being done to stop Trump from running for president? Again, yes, 52, no, 38. So big pluralities. Shows you that Americans understand what's going on here. Okay? And that's good news. Now to Georgia. So the district attorney of Fannie Willis, you all know, had an affair with her boyfriend, Nathan Wade, who just happens to be her top prosecutor that she hired for a lot of money. And then Wade and Fannie go all over the place on trips, and yeah, this looks really bad, really bad. But Fannie says, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Go.
I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. Let's say it for the record. I'm not embarrassed by anything I've done. We were still doing the case in the way that it needed to be done. I don't feel like we've been slowed down at all. I do think that there are efforts to slow down this train, but the train is coming.
Well, that train was almost derailed and still might be because of all these shenanigans down in Fulton County, Georgia. And joining us is, from Atlanta, is Congressman Barry Loudermilk. He is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight in the House of Representatives. Mr. Loudermilk is looking into Fannie Willis, and we're pleased to have him on the No Spin News this evening. So why are the feds involved in looking at Fannie at this point, Congressman?
Well, Bill, thanks first for having me on. Well, sure. This has been part of a bigger investigation that my subcommittee has been leading at the direction of then Speaker Kevin McCarthy to look into what really happened on January 6th. How was there a security failure, but also the select committee on January 6th. So what led us into Fannie Willis was during our investigation, we uncovered information that the select committee on January 6th was actively working with Fannie Willis, sharing information during the course of their investigation. Now, this is highly unprecedented. It's not unusual for a House committee or a select committee to turn over a criminal referral to the Department of Justice or someone where at the conclusion of an investigation. But they were working with her during the investigation, sharing information. What's concerning to a lot of people is we have uncovered irrefutable evidence that this committee, the select committee, was suppressing any evidence that didn't line up with their preconceived narrative about Donald Trump organizing and executing the riots on January 6th.
Okay, and so let me stop you there, because we want to keep it very, very vivid here, very simple. So Liz Cheney's committee, and, you know, we all know about that. And right. I think it's been established they did suppress information. Yes. Anything that was exculpatory, they didn't put, you know, they put it at the end and they diminished it. But this is a state beef in Georgia. And when you have a federal entity, the January 6th committee, House of Representatives, cooperating with a state beef, that is highly unusual, is it not?
It is. I mean, it's I haven't seen this happen before, but also engaging multiple times, including with Miss Cassidy Hutchinson. If you remember, she's the one who came up with the sensational stories about.
Yeah, we debunked her.
Having the steering wheel.
Right.
She was working directly with them as well.
She was working with Fonnie Willis, right?
Yes.
So we debunked Miss Hutchinson. I mean, it was a load of garbage, and she made a lot of money on a book off it, too. Now, there have been reports that Nathan Wade, the boyfriend, the top prosecutor for Miss Willis and her paramour, visited the White House. Did mm-hmm. you look into that? Do you have anything on that?
We are in cooperation with Jim Jordan and Jamie Comer, who's chair of the Oversight Subcommittee. We're looking into that aspect. We have multiple jurisdictional boundaries there, but Jim Jordan and I have teamed up together. He's looking into the visits to the White House while I'm looking into what information was given to Fonnie. And did she receive any of the exculpatory information that we ended up turning up that you never saw?
But
public.
It would be very unusual for a state prosecutor, okay, Nathan Wade, to get admittance into the White House, to talk to the White House. That looks like the Biden White House was coordinating. And that would be, talk about impeachable, that would be a huge story if it happened. Did it happen? Do you have evidence that Wade went to the White House and talked to White House people?
According to my conversations with Jim Jordan, who's leading that aspect of it, he believes that it did happen.
Wow.
I don't have the evidence myself, but you're right. I mean,
that's big.
And your poll numbers are showing the American people know that this is politically driven.
Well, that's true. But if Jordan, that's a headline for Jordan, and I'd like to have it defined. Now, the trial about the conspiracy, Trump is charged with the special counsel, all right, Smith, that he was involved with trying to overthrow the government on January 6th. I don't believe he's going to be convicted because there is exculpatory evidence all day long. But you have centered in on the valet to the White House. Tell us about that.
Well, we started looking early on, trying to look through all the documentation the Select Committee turned over to us, and we found out that we had a lot of missing documentation. We did find some transcribed interviews have been sent to the White House. Now, these were White House employees that had direct access to the president and the vice president on January 6th. Now, some of the crazy tales that we got out of Mrs. Hutchinson included the engagements with the valet. The president threw food onto the floor. He was so angry about things, as well as that he agreed that Mike Pence should be hanged, and several comments that were supposedly made, according to Ms. Hutchinson. Well, under the valet's testimony, which was what we released was heavily redacted because these were military personnel that were apolitical, and they're just trying to protect the identity and understand that. But there is enough information in the unredacted portions to show that that wasn't the case. And this is the person who was side by side with President Trump that day, who never heard him make these statements that, yes, Mike Pence should be hung, or called him some very vulgar names. And so it basically debunked that portion of her
and
testimony.
That was under oath, right? His testimony was under oath, the valet.
Exactly. And when you include that with Tony Ornato, who was the deputy chief of operations at the White House, his missing testimony, which we made public a couple of weeks ago, totally countered the narrative that President Trump did not order the National Guard to be readied, which he did, and he authorized up to 10,000 troops, but also the driver of the SUV. We have his testimony that we'll release sometime soon, where he actually said none of that in the grabbing of the steering wheel or choking a Secret Service agent.
That was a bunch of crap. Well, logistically, it was impossible. Do you have any information given to your subcommittee that Trump did some stuff he should not have done?
The only thing that we've uncovered is where he was angry. And, you know, you can understand that. I mean, who wouldn't be angry in a situation to where you felt like the election was stolen from you? But nothing that rose to the level of impeachment or even ethical violation or a legal violation. Right. Everything that we've uncovered is he followed the law. Yeah, he was upset. He may have said some things.
When the trial gets underway, you would expect that Trump will be acquitted and Jack Smith will be embarrassed.
I believe so. If there was, it's an honest look at the evidence. There's enough exculpatory evidence. We have just released recently that there's no way that you could hold him accountable for what happened on January 6th, which means we've gone 3 years now without actually looking at what really happened and the security failure at the Capitol, which the Select Committee never looked at all, or at least never reported.
Yeah, I'd like to know about Nancy Pelosi's role. Now, you have been attacked, and you well know you have been attacked, for doing all of this in defense of Donald Trump. One of the charges were you were in the Capitol on January 5th, the day before the riot, doing something there, wandering around. Do you want to address that?
Yeah, this was one of the most ridiculous things that ever happened. What they claimed is that I gave a tour of the Capitol on January 5th to some of the insurrectionists, a reconnaissance tour. Far from the truth. Even the Capitol Police exonerated us in that, but that didn't stop the Select Committee.
So it's just total BS.
It's story.
Where did that story come from?
That came from Liz Cheney, from what we've uncovered in our investigation. It was some people that visited my office and stayed in the Capitol office buildings the whole time, never got into the Capitol, and they weren't even in the Capitol on January 6th. Most of them just stayed down by the Ellipse and in the mall and then got on their bus and went back home to Georgia. None of them were in the Capitol. None of them were.
I believe you. I just need to get everything on the record. The final thing is there is this gallows thing. You know, I got to get this stuff. So apparently somebody built the gallows. What is this now?
Yeah, and it's true. About 6 o'clock in the morning on January 6th, about five people show up. It's still under the cloak of darkness, and they literally build a gallows. And supposedly this gallows that the left claims was to hang Mike Pence when he doesn't do what Trump wanted him to do. Well, the interesting thing about that is Mike Pence never told anybody whether or not he was going to stop the certification until in the afternoon. And the gallows were set up at 6 o'clock in the morning. My question is, how did these stay up all day long and into the evening?
How did they get built in the first place? Don't they have people outside? All right. Are you guys investigating the security breakdown in the Capitol? Is that one of your purviews?
It is. Yeah. That is something we've really taken a hard look at. Good. We've uncovered that there was intelligence failures. Intelligence was given to the Capitol Police Intelligence Division of the pending attack, but that intelligence was suppressed. It never got passed along to the chief of police. Right. That really hindered a lot of the preparedness being ready. And we also have a lot of political influence on the Capitol Police. We have had testimony, and I'm working to get verification on it, that the Secret Service offered fencing to Nancy Pelosi to be put up prior to January 6th based on the intelligence they had. She turned it down because she didn't like the optics. The irony is, on the evening of January 6th, she really liked the optics of having a security fence around the Capitol with razor wire and National Guard around for months. So, you know, she didn't want to prepare, but she really liked the idea of the optics being up to show.
I think Pelosi's got some deficit. Are you going to testify in the trial, by the way? You think you're going to be called by Trump's defense lawyers?
I don't know. The only thing that we have received in the past was they wanted to subpoena for some of the documents we had, but the judge dropped the subpoena. But they have full access to whatever we have. We're making it public.
Really appreciate it, Congressman. If you get anything else, you know, we're always interested in this story. It's a huge story for the American people, and we thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Anytime.
Okay. All right. So as you probably have heard, ISIS-K attacked Moscow, 137 at least dead, three kids, older people. It was a concert hall. These ISIS people went in, set a fire, gunned down all these people, 20 minutes before Russian security could get on them. More than a dozen have been arrested. Now, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories floating around. You know, I don't do that. But I will tell you that Putin is trying to blame Ukraine for this. So keeping an eye on that aspect of the story. But the most important part of this story in Moscow, the ISIS murders, is ISIS-K. They're in Afghanistan. And we told you when Biden surrendered to the Taliban, which is what he did, all right, that Al-Qaeda and ISIS were both going to reconstitute under the Taliban in that area, and they have. And they're a threat to the world. Pope Francis skipped his Palm Sunday homily, 87 years old. I think he's very ill. 60,000 people showed up for Palm Sunday Mass, but he couldn't give this remark. So I'm just tipping you off about that. I don't know how much longer the Pope is going to be with us. California, highest unemployment rate in the country, 5.3%. 67% of California counties have lost population. It is a debacle in the nation's largest state. This spells doom for its governor, Gavin Newsom. You cannot run a state that has the highest level of unemployment and expect to be president. So that's the importance of this story. Smart Life. So as you know, we have a concierge program on BillO'Reilly.com, and I get letters every single day of people who have problems or they want more information about something or they want to say hello. They got a private line to me. A lot of the problems that we are seeing with concierge members are because they buy insurance policies and other very important things on the internet. Travel insurance, for example. They're buying cars, warranties for cars on the internet. That is insane. With all due respect, I know people don't understand the big picture. That's why I'm here. You cannot buy these things on the internet because the only recourse you have as an American citizen, when things go wrong, insurance doesn't pay off, warranty won't show up, whatever it may be, is to sue them. The best way to sue them is in small claims court where it doesn't cost you any money, but it costs them money. You do that in your own county. Each county has a small claims court. You go in, you file against, but you can only do that if the business is in your area. If it's on the internet, you can't because they don't even know where these people are. They could be in India. And some people are doing big things like wills, like property transfers on the internet. You are insane to do that. If you get hosed in this life, you can sue and try to recover in two ways, a formal lawsuit where you hire an attorney or small claims court where you take care of it yourself if the amount is lower. But once you buy something on the internet, you're done. They can't find them. There's so much crime, so much grifting going on the internet, and people are still sending money to these. If you give your credit card to these people. Anyway, that's Smart Life. Don't do that. Deal with a real person close to your area that you can hold accountable. Smart Life. This day in history, March 25th, 31 A.D., First Easter. How did that come about? Okay, that was 1,993 years ago. So there was a guy working in the Vatican. The Vatican was up and running. It wasn't nearly what it is now. His name was Dionysius. He was a monk. Brilliant man. He was in charge of changing the calendar, okay, from the Roman calendar to a more modern situation. As part of his duties, he set Easter to coincide with a full moon. So it would be on a different day. It's not like December 25th is Christmas. Easter on a different Sunday. So the holiday of Easter coincides with the Paschal full moon. That is the first full moon after the spring equinox, vernal equinox on March 21st. The first full moon, and you got Easter. All right? And that happened 1,993 years ago today. You know, see what you learn on this program? Nobody else comes close. We will be back with a final thought about my road trip to New England over the weekend. Word of the day, do not be insolent. I-N-S-O-L-E-N-T, insolent. Okay, so this weekend I took a road trip to New England, Connecticut, Rhode Island. My son was playing lacrosse, and I was in the monsoon. What a good father I am. I stayed for the game, okay, and he played very, very well. And it was worth it for me to drive up there. On the way up, I'm in eastern Connecticut, okay, just coming off 95, heading east to Rhode Island. I'm hungry. So I get off on one of the exits, and there's a Chili's restaurant. There's a Chili's, okay? Now, Chili's has 1,300 restaurants across the country. Most of them are company-owned, but about 20% are franchisees, which means Chili's doesn't own them. They rent the name. Now, in any, and I'm picking on Chili's because I went there, but in any restaurant, anywhere in this country, when you walk in, and you've never been there before, you look at the restaurant. Number one, is it clean? Number two, do they seem to have enough help? Okay, enough people in the restaurant to get the food on the table in a reasonable amount of time. Number three, you look at the menu before you sit down. Because if you're not familiar, I mean, might be $30 for a hamburger and you're out of there. So I go into Chili's in eastern Connecticut. I'm not going to tell you what town. It's just I don't want to bust them like that. And it's dirty. But it's not clean. And the waitstaff has tattoos all over their neck and face. Now, my first instinct was to out of there, okay? I'm not prejudiced or biased against people with tattoos, but the appearance was not what you would want for a public job. But I was hungry, and there weren't a lot of choices, okay? Because I had ridden around just to see what my options were. So I sit down. Huge mistake. It's my fault. My fault. I chose, and I knew, because I'm a veteran traveler. I said, you know, this is not where I should be or anybody should be. So I got through it, but it was not easy. And it was, essentially, the server couldn't take the order, and the order was easy. What? And then I tried to pay with cash. They didn't have change. If you can imagine, I said, well, you're telling me you don't have change? This is a restaurant. So they had to go to the bar area. I mean, I didn't get angry. I snapped once when I had to repeat for the third time a very simple order. I said, you want me to write it down? That's what I said. But it was my fault. 100%. And I left a decent tip because I felt sorry for the poor woman I did. I said, boy, oh boy. But when I got out, I was walking out, I went, never again. I'd rather go hungry. So that was my road trip. And be careful. Be careful out there. Okay, thank you very much for watching and listening to the No Spin News. See you tomorrow.